Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Dr. K, and this is Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we are interviewing Chelsea Rose from Chelsea Rose Health. Yay, one of my favorite new bloggers.
And thank you so much.
Yeah, so you're a personal trainer.
Yes.
And a personal health coach.
Yes.
And you write a great blog. And we just met. I don't even know how we met. We met through another trainer friend, I think.
I actually found you on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Through the good old gram.
Yeah.
I met so many nice people this year.
Yeah, I bet.
And I have been reading all your blog posts because I think that
your
newsletters are really informational. And I thought, how fun to interview you today. So you came in today for Botox.
Yes.
And I think Botox has such a taboo name out there that everyone's afraid to admit they're doing it. But literally everyone is doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think in your athletic circles are most of the athlete workout girls doing Botox?
I feel like the girls that I follow on like Instagram definitely are.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the kind of day-to-day people I see like in the gym or other trainers that I work with are not. You know, the people that are maybe less on Instagram aren't really getting it. Even today I was kind of talking about how I was coming here to get it and someone was like, "You're gonna go get Botox?" I'm like, yeah.
Like, it's taboo. Like, you're such a clean and green and, like, you know, organic girl. Like, how dare you get Botox? But.
Right.
But I think that that's such a fallacy. And the real benefit of Botox, if you use it regularly, is prevention.
Right.
Right? So that's something all of you guys that are on the gram should learn. And all of us in general, like, when we stop wrinkling the skin repeatedly, it stays smooth. And if you start Botox at an early enough age, you just never will get wrinkles. So
right. Which, I don't think a lot of people think about it that way. I think they want to be like, I'm going to wait until I get a bunch. For me, it was just that I had finer lines kind of setting in, and they've gotten less over the years because this is, like, maybe my third or fourth time getting Botox.
Mm-hmm.
But even, at a young age, I was like, I have deep wrinkles in my forehead.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, 21, so.
There's no right age to start Botox. People ask me that all the time, what's the right age?
Right, yeah, I've heard that a lot, too.
It's whenever you're seeing the lines. Like, you don't need to get railroad tracks and then say, I'm ready for Botox.
Mm-hmm.
No, why not get it early on when you notice the repetitive creasing? Or, like you were saying, your makeup was getting stuck in your little forehead lines. So,
and I think the other thing for me personally, and I don't know if other people can maybe like relate to this, was that my mom had never gotten Botox, and she, I think, maybe has been wanting to, or like felt like she needed it. So for her to see me getting it was kind of like, it almost was like made her more standoffish in a way.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it wasn't like
first.
A wake-up call, like, you're doing it now, I need to do it.
No,
that's
yeah.
what my mom would do.
Yeah, not at first, I don't think, because she was kind of like, you don't even need it,
oh, really?
You know? But I'm like, Mom, I see where I'm going.
That's funny, because my husband will tell me things like, you don't even need those shots, you're so pretty. He's so sweet to say that, but I'm like, well, I'm staying fresh because I'm doing these shots in the background, and, like, just don't overdo it, right?
Right.
As with everything in life.
Yeah.
The moderation.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Botox should last you about 4 months, and fillers mostly last a year. That means in 6 months they go down by 50%.
Mm.
So it's kind of nice to just think of it as a seasonal. I like to think of Botox as a seasonal treatment, about once every season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's winter, summer, spring, fall, those are the times you touch up your Botox.
Right.
And you should do a peel at those times because your skin needs to exfoliate and get rid of the top layer of dull sun damage.
What do you suggest for that?
Have a couple peels at my office that I love. One is called the Pretty Peel, and that's a light trichloroacetic acid peel. It's got four different acids. It's very light. So I don't want people to freak out about the idea of getting a peel.
I've never done one.
Yes, right? Because it sounds slightly scary to do a chemical that peels off your face.
Right, and then I've heard, like, don't leave your house for 5 days because no one's going to want to see you. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, so,
so
that's, like, very old school. And the
okay.
new modern peels are amazing. The ingredients get absorbed inwards, and they do the work of lightening, tightening, and brightening. And the first 2 days, you just look lighter, tighter, brighter. And the third and fourth day is where you get starting to get little eraser shaving flaking. And then you just moisturize, put on your sunscreen.
Okay.
You can do lipstick and eye makeup, and you can go to work. The deeper level peels, those third and fourth days, you might have little sheets of peelies. And those also just lightly rub off in the shower, and you moisturize them down.
Okay.
But it's the fifth day where you have this transformative, like bright, new, fresh skin.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really
yeah,
fun. You should try one.
No, I definitely should. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be really good
Yeah.
for you. Well, what's your regular regimen? I know you've been loving my skincare.
Yes.
And she wrote all these amazing blog posts, so I want you guys to read them because I didn't even ask her to. And, like, did you feel like your skin changed?
Oh, 1,000%. So that's what I was kind of saying a couple minutes ago, is that I get sent a bunch of different skincare products, and I never have anything negative to say about them. It's either they work for me or they don't. But I, you know, it's weird because you want to try everything and you want to give reviews about everything and you want to kind of tell people, like, this is how this works. But I also don't want to bash anyone. So there have been products that I've tried where a couple of days go by and I look like I have a rash all over my entire face. And I'm obviously not going to say that, but I'm also not going to promote that product if it's not something that I really think works well, or at least for me. But yeah, when I had yours, I just would get, what were they called? They're not acne, but they're
comedones.
Yes.
So comedones, those little white spots that build up under the skin where you see a little annoying bump that you can't really squeeze out.
And I would try to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how you get acne scarring.
Yeah.
That's a kernel of dead skin that builds up under the surface trapped in a pore. So
okay.
Kind of like a whitehead, but even a little more organized and firm than that.
Yeah. So then that would be even more frustrating because I would always try to, like, get rid of them with my fingers. And obviously that would cause, like, a nightmare of a situation. So, yeah, you saw that my first time I came in and recommended the glycolic acid. And it was the first time that my face had cleared up completely.
Yes. So glycolic wash. And my wash is really great. So glycolic is an acid. It's a natural fruit acid. And a sugar acid, actually, and it eats up the layers of dead skin on your face. So you're washing your face, it's terrific. It removes makeup, it removes oils and dead skin, because that's how comedones build up, a layer of dead skin that infiltrates the pore and then gets kind of hardened and covered, and then it's in there till you extract it with a professional extraction.
Yeah.
So use your glycolic wash. I tell everybody, twice a day for a month, you'll clear up. You won't have comedones anymore.
Yeah. So I use that and then the retinol.
Retin-A at nighttime,
Retin-A,
the Diamond Line Refine.
Yeah. With a moisturizer, though, because if you don't, then your whole face is just like...
A little dry. Retin-A is one of those amazing products. If you're over 30 and you're not on Diamond Line Refine or Retin-A, you really should be. That's our number one prevention of fine lines, wrinkles, tightens the pores. And then just a pea sized is enough for your full face. So maybe that's why you were drying. Yeah, she's like,
okay. Can I ask you a question about the skincare stuff? So I've heard different people say different things, and even different, like, estheticians say different things about the order of putting things on. So I've heard before that the thinnest thing goes on first so that it can go into your pores, but then I heard something the other day on a different podcast that you should put the oil on last.
Well, so thinnest always goes on first. Actually, the most active ingredient that you want to be absorbed and to be working strongest and best should go on first. And also, hopefully, that is the thinnest. Usually serums are the strongest ingredients. And then what they may be talking about is a finishing the oilier, heavier layers to go on last, because it kind of seals in the serums that are water-based and allows them to penetrate better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but always your thinnest first and most active first, if you can remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, and that goes to thicker. But tell me something about nutrition, because I love your blog, and I was reading the other day about how, like, you're wondering why you're not, first of all, you don't need to lose weight, but you were wondering why you were not losing weight and you were eating all this almond butter.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, almond butter's so healthy.
Yeah, so that's like, so I do online health coaching, and that's a huge thing that I keep noticing that comes up for different women is, you know, I ask them simply, like, so what are you eating throughout the day? Let's get, like, a basic, you know, from the start of the day to the end of the day, like, what your meals kind of look like and your snacks look like. And everyone is fairly, you know, fairly healthy for the most part, you know, with healthy snacks and healthy meals. There's, you know, there'll be almond butter, almonds, bulletproof coffee, avocados, and all these things. But then you look at, you know, the size of the person and then their, what their goal is, which is to lose weight, and then you realize, like, okay, so for example, I had a girl that was filling up a baggie of almonds, like a cup of almonds every single day, and she would eat it throughout the day. And then so I told her, I was like, do you know how many
calories are in a cup of almonds.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, no. I was like, there's about 600 calories in
one cup
of almonds.
Actually, yeah.
Which for someone your size, like if you're not working out that day and your goal is to lose weight, that's probably about half your amount of calories for the day.
Yeah.
And that was just something that you didn't even probably log on your meal plan. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So people tend to completely overconsume calories on a daily basis and then go to these workouts where they're running around and causing a lot of stress within their body and then thinking that because they did that workout that they should consume more calories.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously if you are working out, you do want to consume more, but it depends on what the workout is. If someone goes for a hike, I'm not going to say, okay, now you make sure you refuel with like a 400 calorie smoothie, you know?
Yeah.
It's, let's like put that in the category of those are now calories that are in your deficit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
There's so much misinformation out there and people, you exercise and then you're more hungry because you just worked out. And then you want to reward yourself because you worked out, so you should be able to eat, right?
Yeah.
But that's such wrong thinking, like. Sadly, it all boils down to what you put in and what you put out. So if your calorie input is high, it doesn't matter how much you work out. So I don't know about you, but one of the things I tell my patients is you tell them count your calories.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can subtract out the amount of working out calories. But like for a good calorie deficit to lose weight, you should eat 1,200 calories a day to 1,400, would you say?
It depends on the size of the person, really.
Yeah.
So there's like a little formula that you can do, basically very, very basic. For men, what you'll do if you want to maintain your body weight in order to figure out how many calories you should be having on a day-to-day basis, you multiply your weight by 10.
Mm-hmm.
But if your goal is to lose weight, then you'd want to subtract from that number maybe by like 150, 200 a day to make it reasonable. For women, it's by 9. So, like, I would take my weight and multiply it by 9 and then subtract a little bit. But that's for a non-workout day, assuming that I'm not burning a ton of calories in a workout.
So your 140 pounds times 10 means you can eat 1,400 calories a day.
For a guy. That's,
for
like, what your body needs to maintain.
That's a lot less. We get one calorie less.
Yeah, I know. When I saw that number the first time, I was like, that's all I get?
Yeah, so 1,300 calories a day is not a lot. If you look at, you know, those frozen meals that are prepackaged, they're, like, about 400 calories.
Exactly.
And you just get, like, this much food, a little chicken, a little bit of...
Exactly. And that's exactly why I took almond butter on my diet, was because I was like, okay, where can I kind of maneuver my calories around?
Yeah.
And I realized I was having 2 tablespoons of almond butter in the morning and then 2 in my smoothie. And I'm like, I'm getting almost 400 calories worth of almond butter.
Yeah. So
let's make that a full meal.
It's a big trade-off between like how much calories go in and what are the quality of the nutrients. Like you want to say, oh, I love almonds, I'm going to eat a ton, or I love avocados, but you really have to count those too. So, I think 1,200 is I tell patients 1,200 to 1,500 calories a day for weight loss, like just to generalize.
Right.
Yeah. And 1,800 if you're like just maintaining.
And then a lot of things I talk to my clients about first also is carbohydrate intake.
Yeah.
Like women in America are getting maybe on average like 250 grams of carbs a day, which like we are not all athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't need that much extra.
Yeah.
Carbohydrate intake, you know what I mean? So trying to get the carbohydrates down is a really good way to start even automatically reducing your calories throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you read Tanya Zuckerbrot's F-Factor Diet?
Yes.
Yeah, for those of you guys who haven't read it or looked at her Instagram, it's really good, and it's that whole concept of you want to be full, so you want to eat a lot, so you got to take in dense calories that have a lot of volume, but very little calories.
Right.
Foods that have a lot of volume. So cucumbers, for example, if I ate a whole cucumber for lunch, my tummy's going to be pretty full and happy, but the calorie count's going to be very low. It can be like 100 or 200 calories that I've eaten, but I'm full of fiber. So it's a whole diet based on like eating a ton of fiber. So
yeah.
I think that's super awesome for, you know, always eat a giant plate of salad before you eat your meal. And then I tell patients like, the size of protein you should have, you know, if you're having chicken, it's not this much chicken. It's supposed to be the size of a deck of cards, just like that. And your carbs is this much rice, just like that. So if you have these little tools on your hand where you can just measure your calories, right?
Right, totally.
Measure your protein portions.
And that's the thing that I'm like, protein is like a magic trick to me.
You know
what I mean? I feel like it's like a tool in my toolbox that like everyone should just be using, because I always give the example of like if you had a full box of pizza, like I could sit and eat four pieces of pizza
easily,
no problem, yeah. You know, and not even be like maybe even super satisfied or super full afterwards, you know.
Yeah.
But I tell people, like, imagine if that was like a full thing of like chicken, like you wouldn't get anywhere near through that much food.
That's true.
Because there's like so much
one
protein.
Slice or two slices.
And you'd have less than half the amount of calories.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, why not just eat things that are going to fill you up really fast for a fraction of the calories?
That's so true. So that's a good way to think about it. So I know everybody wants to look young and lose weight.
Totally.
And like, when you lose weight, your face looks younger, frankly. So.
Yeah.
So those are just some good nutritional tricks.
Yes.
And then any other good advice if you're like, okay, what's a good tip for when you really want to work out but you lose your motivation so quickly, like you get home and you're tired and you're just like, oh, I'm not going to do
it
today.
What I tell girls is, you know yourself. So just be honest with yourself. If you know that you're not going to get home and work out after a long day, then you have to make the effort to get that workout in before your day starts.
Yeah.
So if that means getting up a little bit earlier, then you have to just get to a point where you say, do I want to change? Yes or no?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, then okay, what do I have to do in order to maneuver my schedule? Because you can't keep giving yourself and everyone else the same excuse all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for them, I'd say maybe Steve, you can work out in the morning. I lose motivation all the time.
Yeah.
Like it's not easy, obviously, as they say, or everyone would be doing it all the time. So for me, if I lose motivation, what I like to do is just start simple and not try to tell myself like, okay, this Monday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to eat healthy all day long, I'm only going to have 50 grams of carbs, and I'm going to do two workouts. You know what I mean? Like, start lower.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. I'm like, just get up and start your day with a smoothie, and then let that be the daily accomplishment. And then the next day, start with the smoothie, maybe go for a hike.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't overwhelm yourself, because we already have so much going on that it's like.
Yeah. Then you feel like a failure. Like, give
exactly.
yourself small goals.
Exactly.
And small little incentive changes, like, you know,
yeah.
incremental changes.
Exactly.
I tell patients that too. Like, my little tricks are like, okay, I'll do 20 push-ups before I get in the shower.
Mm-hmm. That's
or
great.
Or like 20 squats while I'm brushing my teeth. Like, something I know I can force myself to do, and I'll be slightly happy that I did it.
Yeah, I call them mini accomplishments.
Yeah,
like, that's all you need. You just need like one mini accomplishment a day to start getting you back into your routine. I was thinking about that when I was leaving the gym this morning, because I just celebrated my birthday for a week. And I think I worked out once.
Birthday.
Yeah. And so by this week, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, my body, like, a body at rest is going to want to stay at rest, right? And a body in motion likes to stay in motion. So I think what people don't realize is that it doesn't take that long for your body to want to go one way.
Yeah.
So I think people that are at rest feel like they need to, you know, set this like month long goal of being super active, when really, if you just like fight through those little hurdles and have those many accomplishments for like 3 days
yes.
in a row, by day four you're like, oh, I can kill it.
Yes,
yeah.
That's so true. I've been doing workouts where I walk on the treadmill for an hour while I read emails.
Oh, perfect.
And
yeah.
like just did a slow speed, like 2.5-3 miles per hour, and like that's been so great, because I get home and sit on the laptop, I might as well be walking, and then if by the end of that you're like, okay, I did an hour on the treadmill. That's
exactly
awesome.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
I killed all these emails, so
yes.
That was the Skinny Confidential who
I was gonna say that sounds like a Skinny Confidential
that.
Tip
check out the Skinny Confidential if you haven't checked out her blog.
I love her.
Too she's great.
Yeah.
And you're so super busy. So you get up at the crack of dawn. What's your schedule like?
Yeah, so my schedule is basically get up at 5:30,
uh-huh.
leave the house by 6, train at 7, typically train at 8, and then maybe try to get in a workout for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then maybe train one more time. Head home, have lunch, do emails, do blog work, do any health coaching I might have, and kind of spend the afternoon at home doing that. And then I work at a lounge also at night. So I'm there from 5:30 until maybe like 12:30. Get back to bed around 1-ish, and then.
Oh my God, you're burning the candle at both ends.
I know, that's why I had to come here.
That's hard, but this is the age where, like, you guys, if you have goals, you should be motivated. You
right.
wake up early, work hard, stay up late. I do the same thing.
Yeah, you're
I mean,
so busy.
Yeah, it's easy to look successful, but believe me, we're killing ourselves.
I know. I know.
But
I try to slow down as much as I can. Because last month or 2 months ago got super insane to
yeah.
the point where, like, I had my first panic attack, and it was
not good.
Yeah, it was like, okay,
you need to chill.
Yeah, I get that to that point every once in a while, too, where I just really need to take time off. But then, like you said, a body in motion wants to... The body at rest, it's so hard to come back from vacation.
Yeah, and then if I try to chill when I'm in motion, I have, like, anxiety that I'm not doing anything.
Exactly. So, the modern... What's the modern stress?
Issues.
But I wanted to bring things back towards, like, aesthetics, too, and just talk about one pointer for our athletes. I have a lot of very athletic women clients who work out, you know, 2-3 times a day. And facial changes of facial fat are the thing that's going to age you the most. So as we age, naturally, your face has beautiful fat pads when you're in your 20s. In your 30s, there's volume deflation where the fat pads start to come down. And by the time of your 40s, you have stretch of all these suspensory ligaments of the face, so you start to get a little bit of early jowling and heaviness in the lower face. So for athlete women, it's particularly important when you see volume changes to start working on them right away. And some of my favorite products for that are like Sculptra, which is a product that stimulates you to grow new collagen. And I love to do that for temples and the cheeks to give like a lifting effect.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
And it
that.
Creates this really nice collagen underground padding. So people like Angelina Jolie, who are super bony skinny, but their face looks volumized, well, guess why? It's because they're doing stuff like Sculptra. So definitely like in, for example, in chatting with you and your temples are a little bit hollow, that starts to make the upper eyelids feel heavy. So temple filler with Sculptra is terrific. Cheeks, when you notice a little fullness of the fat pad of the cheek falling forward or a deep line around the nasal folds, I'll always recommend to do cheek lifting procedures. And that looks terrific. And then, if you're noticing heaviness around the mouth too. So do something to help the jawline to lift up. So start to think about filler as your face maintenance, because as time, gravity, and deflation of the fat pads occur, there's no other way to fight that other than reinflating with volume. And Sculptra is great because it lasts for 2 years, and the collagen that you grow can last 5 years and beyond. And then the instant fillers, like the Juvederm, Restylane, Voluma, those kind of things, the Radiesse, they're wonderful too. They last 1 year, but remember you're going to rent those for a year. They look terrific right away. They do help the collagen, but they're not the long-term result.
I did have a question about filler.
Of course.
Once it is like out of your face, right? It dissolves. I think some people are under the assumption that it like drops.
That it can make your skin stretch out or get more saggy or worse. Yeah, that's absolutely not true, because when we place the filler, we're actually creating little patches of stimulation. Each time the needle enters, each time the hyaluronic acid is deposited there, it creates new collagen to be created. So you don't get more deflated or saggy. You go back to your baseline. And the filler is really, the syringes cost a lot. However, they are a fifth of a teaspoon, so very little. If you think of a ketchup packet, it has, you know, 8 cc's or 8 syringes in it. And that's so tiny, right?
Wow.
I could easily put ketchup packet here and a ketchup packet there. So like in your head, you think a syringe is a lot, but the reality is it's a very little amount of volume.
Oh, okay.
But placed strategically, it does a lot.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
We don't really want a face with a ton of overbuilt volume. We just want strategic placement in a few spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't have filler fear. A lot of people have filler fear. There's no reason to have fear because, number one, they're dissolvable for the most part. You can get rid of them right away if you don't love it.
I
would say I never have to do that really, except for super rare. And then number two, they don't cause sagging or deflation when they go away. They actually have made your skin better than what you started with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Perfect. Does anyone have any questions out there? Send them in so we can answer them on a future podcast. But I just wanted to thank you for coming in. It's really great to talk to an athlete and someone who's interested in nutrition. And you're so goal-oriented. I wish you all the success.
Thank you so much. I absolutely love coming here, and I seriously recommend everyone comes here.
Oh,
so
that's sweet.
Yeah,
and check out our skincare.
Me.
Yes, definitely. Tune in next week, and we have our 5-Minute Fridays. I have my longer Tuesday podcast. You guys can find Chelsea at, where are you on Instagram?
Chelsea Rose Health, and Chelsea with a Y.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your website is the same?
ChelseaRoseHealth.com, yeah.
Yeah, and find me on my website at www.beautybydrkay.com and my amazing Instagram, BeautyByDrK. Check it out. Hope you guys will tune into the next podcast. Stay beautiful.